Welcome to Mental Health and the Messiah. This is a special segment of the We Seal Genesis podcast that focuses on bringing mental health awareness from the diaspora to the continent, especially in Ghana. Today, I sit down with a professional. This professional is a loving mother, family woman. She is an author, and she is very excited to share her expertise on mental health awareness within the Ghanaian diaspora and on the continent. Why don't you join us? And if you love this podcast, go ahead and share with a friend. Give us a rating on Spotify and give us a rating on Apple Podcast. You can also send a special message if you are using the Anchor app. Let's get right into the conversation.
Very necessary to have professional counsel to help grow our minds on the topic of mental health and awareness. So I'll let our guest for today open up our conversation. Welcome, Abba. I'm very excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Shadia. It's an honor to be here.
Amazing. Could you please tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you are now, and what you do?
Yes. So again, thanks for having me. Shadia, I am a licensed mental health counselor in private practice, and I am based in Florida, USA. I'm a woman who loves the Lord and who loves my family. And for me, family includes my immediate family of my husband and my two adult children and my daughter-in-law. So I have a son, Archie, who is married and, you know, doing his thing. He lives about 4 hours away in Tallahassee, Florida. And my daughter, Alyssa, is at the University of Florida. And of course, my daughter in love, I call her Sarah, in Tallahassee as well. So yes, and my husband is Eddie. So that's a little bit about me. I also am a mental health advocate, a very passionate mental health advocate. And I'm the author of a book called Reflections of a Hope Monger.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I didn't even know this. That's really lovely. I love that you talk about family, and I think it's really important. Well, your background, of course, is from Ghana, and we also know that Ghanaians take family life very seriously. So I'm very happy to hear that. And I'm also very happy that, you know, you're into the whole awareness, you know, part of things to make sure that, you know, people are more about this. First thing, I just wanted to jump on to education. We obviously have a very superstitious fixed mindset culture in Ghana. How do you think we can build a growth mindset? Why is mental health so important?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, just to comment on something you just said, absolutely, family is important. And one of the big hallmarks, one of the pillars of mental health is having healthy relationships, having a good support system. And of course, family is not always blood. It's also family of the heart. And so having a supportive family around you, sometimes family can even be a tribe of like-minded people. You know, like my girlfriends, I call them my sister friends. They have become my family as well. So the two are intertwined, you know, strong, healthy families and mental health. That's an important thing. Now, to answer your question, you know, for me, growing up in Ghana, if you had to ask me the first thing that comes to mind when I hear the word mental, then for me, it's the image of the quote unquote madman walking around, speaking unintelligible words, you know, hearing voices, looking unkempt, walking around, you know, with no purpose in his life. It's scary. And, yeah. And you know, that's what a lot of us associate. And I think also being Christians as well, many of us see mental illness as purely a spiritual. It's because maybe you're possessed by a demon or you're cursed or you're a witch or something. Notions which honestly we need education to dispel.
Yeah.
Mental, you know, mental illness is an illness just like any other illness out there. you know, like diabetes, like heart disease, like, you know, just think of any illness. Mental illness has a medical basis. It has all the criteria of an illness. Now, am I saying let's not pray if somebody has a mental illness? Absolutely not. Just as if somebody had a heart condition or had diabetes, we would pray, but we would still seek the proper medical interventions, the proper lifestyle changes to be able to be healthy. Because we have to understand that, you know, as human beings, we are tripartite, spirit, soul, and body. You know, the Bible says this in Thessalonians. He says, the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept. Right. You know, so therefore, health comes from emotional health, you know, which is our soul, our intellect, our emotions. It also comes from having physical health and spiritual health. And we cannot discount any of these pieces to get health. And mental illness is included in that. Mental health, I mean, is included in that. And so to answer your question again, we need education to understand these things. If you only have one bit of the puzzle, all right, one piece, it does not give you the full picture. You can't, you know, really make headway. So of course, education is important, you know.
Wow. That's very eye-opening. And just before I go on to the next question, which is kind of like tied into two, how do you think, or do you think that the fixed mindsets of the people, or when I say people here on the continent who haven't had the opportunity to possibly explore outside the borders of Ghana, they have like a fixed mindset based on like perfection or making sure that everything is right. And sometimes when there's a mental health challenge is when there's a gap where things are going not so well or not so perfect. So do you think that has a role this fixed mindset?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The truth is that, again, education opens up our minds, right, to see things. And of course, you talk about fixed mindset versus growth mindset. It's so important to have a growth mindset. I, you know, for one thing I've said to the Lord is, till the day he calls me home, I want to learn something new every day. Mm-hmm. And is it comfortable? No, it's not. But we must grow. We must evolve. We must gain knowledge. And with the knowledge, we must then apply wisdom. So absolutely, it's important to understand that perfectionism is not a good thing. And when you understand even what perfectionism is rooted in, you understand that it's not a good thing. We want a spirit of excellence for sure. But perfectionism comes from a place where I'm not worthy. And therefore, I must do these things where there's no flaw to prove that I am worthy. A spirit of excellence says, I understand who made me, who I am, and whose I am. And I understand that I'm already a masterpiece, even as I'm evolving, right? Okay. And therefore, when I do something, I apply my whole heart to the spirit of excellence. And if the outcome is not quite what I hoped or expected, it doesn't mean I'm a failure. It means perhaps the attempt, you know, didn't work out like I wanted it to be. And there's always a learning to be gained from it, you know? But you're absolutely right, you know, Shadia, we must learn these things. And in your generation, God bless you for doing what you're doing. We must learn, we must evolve, we must grow. We must never stop reading, we must never stop learning.
Yes.
Because the times are changing and we are getting new knowledge. And you know, I say to my kids, I always want them to be better, to do better, to live better and happier than even we did. And it's not just about income levels or, you know, status. No, it's also about the joy with which they live. You know, right. Every generation wants the next one to be better. I want to be better today than I was yesterday. And that really is the only competition in life, not what my other, you know, classmates are doing. The real competition is, can I be better today than I was yesterday? That's what it's about, growth mindset.
I love the sacrificial bit of what you said about, you know, the older generation hoping for the next generation to do better. I think that a lot of people are not open to conversation and sharing knowledge. And that's one of the reasons that I I'm appreciative for you coming on today, connecting with us virtually to talk about this. And I'm really grateful for that, because I think that through this channel, possibly someone who doesn't even know about mental health would pick one or two things today from your support. So thank you so much for that.
My pleasure. So, you know, let me say this.
Sure.
Let me just say this, you know, again, God bless you for what you're doing, because we have to keep talking about mental health. We have to keep talking about emotional health, healthy relationships, and so on. Before I became a therapist in a previous life, I actually, for about 11 years, I worked in the pharmaceutical industry in marketing and in sales. And when I was in sales, you know, my customers were physicians. And so we would take our medications and go and talk to them about it, about the patient type, so they could prescribe, you know, the medication when they saw that patient type. And one thing they told us, and this is based on psychology, people don't necessarily receive the message if you tell them one time. In fact, they told us then that people need to hear the message anywhere from about probably the medium points about 4 or 5 times. And so therefore we would give us these goals, and every 3 months, and they'd say, you know what, and they'd give us, you know, frequencies to see certain people. And certainly the people who are the doctors who were important for our business, we had to hit them about 10 times with our message. And so it takes about 4 to 6 times for the message to sink in, you know? Right. And that's why even Paul said in the Bible that for me to share these things with you again, it's not grievous, but it's life. We have to keep sharing. We have to keep sharing. We have to keep talking. And at some point, hopefully, it will begin to sink in. You know, the truth is that mental health is something we all must contend with. You know, life has been hard. The pandemic, the different things going on in the world, it's been hard. You know, and when it comes to, of course, the difference between mental health and mental illness, we all must contend with our mental health. But mental illness is a diagnosable disease. And the research has shown, the data shows that 1 in 4 of us, all right, in the course of our lifetimes, will have been affected by a mental illness. 1 in 4 of us. And for, you know what, 1 in 4 of us in the course of our lifetimes, if we haven't experienced something like depression or anxiety on a clinical level, then we have a close loved one who has. So this is not the time to stigmatize. This is not the time to think, oh, this doesn't affect me. It affects all of us. When you understand the different factors that can give rise to a mental illness, we understand that even the things we go through, if we don't deal with them, you know, in a healthy way, and they continue to sit on us, at some point it can affect not just our mental health, but it can give rise to mental illness. And that's one of the factors. So this thing is close to us. Again, I'm not speaking, you know, in any way trying to curse anyone, but, you know, in the same way that we have to live healthy lives physically, we have to understand that our emotional health, our mental health is also extremely important. And if we are to be healthy, we cannot leave our mental health behind.
Definitely. And I appreciate that point that you brought up. I think there's a bigger challenge within, like, looking at this from a whole point of, like, view from the health sector. It seems like a typical Ghanaian would not even opt for like a general checkup or wellness exam, which I believe in the US that's what it's called, but would wait until there's something wrong before, you know, they take action. And I think that some of these decisions can definitely delay a lot of things and, you know, cause bigger things to form. So I'm happy that you touched on that point. Now, from what I've researched and what I've experienced in Ghana, I see that on the topic of education, Ghana really suffers from a lot of brain drain. And for anyone listening, this is where there's migration of workers, typically the middle class or the younger generation who have gone through school, from their country, and in this case, Ghana, to other countries for a better standard of living or even a more quality life. Now, the disadvantage of that is, of course, the new generation are left to very, very elderly people to be taken care of, and therefore may miss what's going on now or how they can better renew their minds. But the good thing about this is also that, just like we're connecting with you now, you're not physically in Ghana. However, you're connecting with us and educating us and shedding light on the things that we need to take care of. So how can we incorporate this within the professional setting? How can the professionals out there in the diaspora help the professionals here on the continent shed more light on this topic?
Well, thank God for technology. As much as people say, oh, social media is bad for you and the internet is bad, there's some good parts to it, such as the ability for us to connect across oceans, such as the ability for us to post information that anybody can access, you know? And so whether it's for ourselves as individuals, whether it's on a corporate setting, absolutely the power of technology is one thing that allows us to be able to share information. Yes. So please, what was your question? What was your question again? Please remind me.
How can the professionals in the mental health field collaborate with the professionals here on the continent in Ghana to make mental health like better, like the awareness
absolutely
and the culture of the whole thing?
Well, we're doing it already. We have a large platform on WhatsApp with almost 300 people. We're maxed out on WhatsApp, and we call it the Mental Health Advocacy Group of Ghana. And this includes mental health professionals, both in Ghana as well as in the diaspora. It's an amazing group. And we also have what we call persons with lived experience, people who are also advocates. There's several platforms for people who have lived experience of mental illness and their families as well. And so we collaborate, we have programs. You know, there's a lot going on, more than you might realize, in Ghana right now, both, you know, in terms of, you know, trying to get mental health, you know, acknowledged and focused on in medical treatments, but also just educating people on a grassroots level. Yes, so that is happening. And of course, on a corporate setting as well, companies now are contracting mental health professionals to say, hey, you know, maybe if my employee, you know, wants life coaching or is going through something and has a problem, they can contact you. So those things are beginning to happen. We just need to continue to spread awareness and take it deeper and wider.
I agree. And following up on that question, how do you think the government can help extend this same type of community that you speak of into schools? Because obviously, I think that in touching on mental health, it's important to start from the very, very grassroots level, which is like with children. Mm-hmm. How can we accomplish this?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the best case scenario is to have, you know, a good representation of school counselors. Best case scenario is to be able to do workshops with teachers, so even they understand, you know, some basic things about mental health. You know, I think one of the things for all of us at every level is to even understand even the symptoms of depression, the symptoms of anxiety, you know, to be able to even be able to figure out, okay, something isn't right. So I think at that level, you know, that should, you know, it'd be good if that thing happens. In the best case scenarios, not only do you have school counselors, not only do you have teachers trained in some of these things, but you have them even, passing down wellness practices to the students in the school. And so there's schools abroad where you have children being taught mindfulness practices, breathing, meditation, even something called tapping, which is this new therapy where it helps to alleviate stress and trauma, you know. So as you're breathing, you're tapping certain pressure points of your body, and that has shown, you know, to have some benefits. So all of these are ways. I know that, you know, obviously we you know, in Ghana, as well as, you know, for a lot of Africa, we do have a lack of resources. And one innovative thing that I saw some years ago that was done in Zimbabwe, I believe it was, you know, they didn't have many psychiatrists or mental health professionals. So they actually did this thing where they trained, and this is not in the school system, but I'll make my point in a minute. They trained elderly women in the community on solution-focused therapy. And they would place in different communities a bench, right? They called it a friendship bench. And so if anybody had an issue going on, they could make some time and meet this wise woman on the bench. Okay, and then talk about whatever it was going on, and it was a pilot program, and it showed to really improve mental health in those communities. I've also seen Some years ago, when I looked at this, and I haven't looked at it recently, I believe it was in Canada, a situation where schools were also putting what they called friendship benches, and so kids could come and sit and talk to, whoever was trained, about whatever was going on with them. So these are ways in which we can, little ways in which we can slowly begin to, do things to improve mental health in our population, in our communities.
You've already sort of answered my last question, and I love this concept or pilot program that you mentioned that Zimbabwe introduced, the benches. And actually, we find that in Ghana, we do have a lot of the elderly who are so infused with like so much knowledge. They have so much to give and offer, but it's like they don't have the opportunity to, present these ideas. So that's actually really something good that I would too. The very last thing that I wanted to ask.
And then also, there's different like little courses people can take. One of them is called in America anyway, and I'm sure in different countries there's something, but one that's an international thing. You can become a trainer and then train people. It's called Mental Health First Aid, and so you can get a certification in this, and then go out and train more trainers so that they can go into their communities and be able to pick up if somebody in distress, what's the best thing to do for them in that case, and so on.
I love that you mentioned that I've started my course. I'm yet to do the instructor-led training. I feel like we've complained so much. Well, most of us have complained so much that, okay, this is not happening in Ghana. This is not happening in Ghana. But someone would ask, okay, so what are you doing to help the situation? And I think that, like you said, there's a plethora of resources online, everywhere where you can learn something, get certified, and also, help people in the community. So I love that you said that. The role of the church now is really what's important to me. It is the basis of this show. Everything that we talk about, we'd like to center it to what Christ would have done. So, in the last few minutes of our conversation, I would like for you to shed more light on what the purpose or the role of the church can help when it comes to mental health awareness.
Yes, I think in Ghana, the church is so important. The truth is that many of us in Ghana do get some form of counseling through the church, pastoral counseling, marriage counselors within the church. But I think what's important though is to be able to bring education and awareness about mental health. That piece is important. For me as a therapist, for example, I remember having a doing marriage counseling where one spouse thought the other one was lazy and they wouldn't get up and so on. It actually turned out the spouse, was very severely depressed. And again, understanding the symptoms of depression is, that loss of energy, loss of vitality, sometimes staying in bed for many hours. And so then we had to treat the mental illness and the underlying mental illness. And then when the spouse was better, then we're able to then work on marriage counseling. So understanding all of those elements is important. We must train our deacons and our church workers, anybody who is, and the congregation as well. We must train, we must create awareness. Churches, I think it's a good thing to invite professionals, but also there's people like you who may not be strictly professionals, but you know what, any of us can be trained. In our mental health advocacy group a couple of years ago, we put together a slide set, education slide set, we're giving out for free to anybody who wants to go out into their community or into their church to talk about, mental illness, to explain even the difference between mental health, mental illness. And so I will send you that slide set at some point today. Please go ahead and distribute it. It hasn't been updated in a couple of years, but it's still extremely useful. Go ahead, distribute it. If anybody has any questions, yes, take it to a, contact me or contact some mental health professional who can, talk you through it, explain it to you, because it's the only way we can begin to spread the word. And certainly the church is an important place. It's a vital piece in this puzzle. I don't think we can make inroads in mental health in Ghana without bringing in the churches.
Definitely.
There's even, there's this guy called, what's his name? He wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. His name is right now, Rick Warren. Rick
Rick Warren,
Warren. Now, his son lost his life due to a mental illness. And after, you know, a year off and mourn and everything, but he does a lot in his church. And there's even training packs for the church for mental illness, you know, for mental health. It includes things like even addictions and way to do groups of people who you know, maybe addicted to alcohol or drugs. So that they have, the information is out there. I think that anybody who is serious about wanting to understand it, you know, the information is accessible. And I know Rick Warren, his church, that mental health packet is not so expensive, maybe $70. I think the last time I checked. So yes, there's a lot to be done. We've done a lot. There's a whole lot to be done. And it takes all of us together, working together.
It's been a wonderful conversation. Throughout our discussion and everything we talked about today, I really appreciate you. But one thing really stood out to me, the story that comes to my mind from the Bible to wrap up is the woman at the well and Jesus's approach to her. And I think that in all that you've said, it's important that we meet the problem head on. We have an open mind to approaching all these things, and definitely a non-judgmental space to help people thrive. And of course, as you started in the beginning, you know, have a better family where everyone is joyful and functioning properly and just really on a good pace in being better than they individually were than before. So any last words from you, any way we can reach you?
Yes, I think that, you know, and I didn't get a chance to really go into it, but there's, you know, mental health and mental illness. People use the terms interchangeably, but they're two different things. They're on a continuum. You know, it's almost like I can have a cold, and so maybe this week I'm run down, I'm not so healthy, versus I have a diagnosable illness like diabetes or asthma. Mm. And so mental health, mental illness run in a continuum like that. All of us, the way the world is going, our mental health has been impacted. And so we all must do things to manage our mental health. Not a single person listening, you know, can say, I have perfect mental health. And maintaining our mental health is a daily practice. You can't say, oh, I did it on March 1st, so I'm set. No, it's a daily practice. It includes, we mentioned healthy relationships. It includes learning how to set boundaries. It includes, you know, even healthy eating. There's a whole lot of research about eating healthy and our mental health. It includes exercise, having a faith, having a support system, you know. And so when you're, you know, getting information about how to live well and live better and be positive and have hope, all of those things are also building mental health. And it's all important. I can be reached on social media. My name is Abake Tuanda on Instagram, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Facebook. My book is called Reflections of a Hope Monger. It's available on Amazon. It's also available via Book Nook. And that's an awesome book because I tell stories in that book with lessons in there. And so you're reading the stories, and some are funny and some are cute and some are a little bit, you know, heavy to read. Yeah. But even as you read, you gain wisdom. Even as you read, you gain, you know, hope that, you know what, let me try this again. Let me not give up on myself because I made mistakes. Let me not give up on myself because this thing went wrong. And finally, I just want to say to everybody, have hope. Have hope. Hope is that desire that tomorrow will be better than today. Never give up on yourself. Never give up on hope. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Abba. It's been amazing having you. I'll be sure to put in the links of your social media platform, including your book, on today's episode. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much, and have an amazing rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure hosting Mental Health and the Messiah. This is your host, Shadia Otu, and it's a special call to action. If you've enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to know about how to support this channel, you are able to email us at wesealgenesis@gmail.com. We do have a special virtual adoption project. On this project, we have partnered with the Shepherd's Rod Foundation. It is a foundation focused on taking care of orphans and people with disabilities in Ghana in Brongahafa region. If you'd like to know more, send us a message through email or send us a message on the Anchor app. Thank you so much and have a lovely day.